Good morning. Welcome to Mr. Relevant Podcast. It is Tuesday, March 16th. This is an emergency pod. It's Washington acquired Ryan Fitzpatrick last night. Here to talk about that, the man who did not attend Harvard, Matt Turrell. Hey, Matt.
Hi, Jamie. I mean, you did attend Harvard, so I guess between us, you're right. I didn't.
I attended the Harvard of the Shenandoah Valley.
I attended the Harvard of one very small stretch of Route 1 just south of Beltsville.
So, I'm very excited about this because not only did Washington get Ryan Fitzpatrick, but I have no idea how you feel about Washington getting Ryan Fitzpatrick. So please, share.
I am very excited that Washington got Ryan Fitzpatrick. Before I continue, how do you feel about it?
I'm into it.
I feel like you don't share my enthusiasm here.
Well, I'm almost like a little embarrassed because I saw the news in the middle of the night. Like one of my kids was like, you know, upset stomach or whatever. I checked Twitter while I'm tending to the child. And it's like, holy shit, we got Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I was kind of excited in that moment. The kid was fine, by the way. Kid's fine. I wake up this morning and I'm seeing kind of the national reaction, like, you know, laughing at Washington, you know? So I feel like my excitement has been taken down a notch.
Well, you can't let them do that to you. This is what I always tell my kids, man. You got to like what you like. Here's why I like it. I like it because I think it's low risk. I think it's reasonably, I don't want to say high reward, but you know what you're going to get, right? What I think this does is it creates a situation where Taylor Heinicke, and I guess Kyle Allen, but I just, whatever. Taylor Heinicke can, if it turns out that that very, very, very brief flash in the pan is something that can show itself in training camp, Ryan Fitzpatrick is a capable backup. He's been there before. You don't lose anything either financially or, like, I don't know, culturally or whatever by benching him if the kid beats him out. But if the kid doesn't beat him out, he's fine. He's fine for a year. He buys you a year. He's, you know, it's, I don't know. I feel like it's low risk and potentially fun to watch. Where are you at? Where are you on this?
Well, I've got to start with the fun to watch part. You know, I mean, it's just, it's going to be delightful having Ryan Fitzpatrick and all the accoutrement that comes with him. It's just going to be fun. Like, it's an interesting, kind of exciting player to have at that position. And Washington hasn't had one of those in the better part of a decade. Now, what he's going to give you on the field, I mean, I think we might want to curb our enthusiasm a little bit. He's a 15-year journeyman who's never really had success in the NFL at any of his 9 stops. That said, he's better. He's better than what we have. And I think he's better than the other options that were realistic for Washington. So, like, those are all good things. Like, super fun dude. I think he improves this year's team. There's no commitment. They maintain all flexibility, whether that's with the draft or looking ahead to next year. Gives them a chance to win and gives them the ability to make moves for the future. And back to your point, like, about Heinicke, like, look, I don't think Heinicke or Allen are NFL caliber starting quarterbacks. I think they're NFL caliber backup quarterbacks. But if one of them does happen to be good for real, like if Heinicke's flash in the pan was actually like a reflection of what he could be going forward, he'll get that shot. It's not like Fitzpatrick's locked into the starting job, whether that's preseason or in season. So he'll get his shot, but we don't have to have a 2021 season or go into a 21 season with a roster that could be a contender, except they don't have an actual quarterback. Now, at least they have like a lower, extremely low end NFL starting quarterback.
Well, so he's a 15-year journeyman, yes. Although when you said that, I suddenly had this vivid mental image of Rich Gannon leading the Raiders to the Super Bowl. You know, like every so often you get one of these journeymen.
Let me get a hit off of that.
Yeah, Jeff Garcia. I mean, there are the journeymen who can take you places. But the other thing that I like about him is that he is the anti-Alex Smith. I'm trying to write this for the city paper, and, you know, writing is hard, especially these days. But what I kept trying to find myself soften was the way of saying that, like, the only interesting thing about Alex Smith was that he nearly had his leg amputated. But I mean, really, that's where we were with Alex Smith. Watching Alex Smith play football was not fun immediately prior to his injury. Yeah. And then after his injury, it was only fun partially because the injury made it a good story and partially because the injury gave you a good excuse for why he was playing football like that. But secretly, that's kind of what he looked like even before the injury. So it's going to be nice to have a guy who pushes the ball downfield. I'm sure there will be infuriating, probably game-losing interceptions, but I don't know. There's part of me that just likes the, I don't want to say the chaos, that's a bit dramatic, but the excitement of a guy who can throw the ball long. Also, if they are hoping to sign one of the top receivers out there or get a receiver in high in the draft, at least now you've got a guy who you can sell to them as like, look, we know it's not playing with Russ Wilson or whoever, but he can look at the stats of a guy.
Yeah, you can flourish here. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah.
But the thing is, like, it's been such a long time since we had an actual, like, competent NFL quarterback. Like, you could, like you said, Alex Smith, I think people forget because they started 6-3. But when Alex Smith got here in 2018, it was rough. It was like a 6-3 start where they were putting up 19 points a game. You know, it wasn't that impressive. So it's almost like you're going back to 2017 with Kirk Cousins. It was like the last time Washington had a legit, like, regularly functioning NFL offense, at least at the quarterback position, on any sort of consistent basis. I don't know that Fitzpatrick's as, I'm not saying he's as good as Cousins, but I think it's actually maybe somewhat more comparable than people might think. Here's one stat. I'm like, I don't want to peg everything to this one stat, but I was curious because everybody talks about Fitzpatrick with the interceptions, and he has thrown a lot of interceptions. But the last 2 years in Miami, where he started 20 games and played in 24 games, his interception rate was 2.7%. So 2.7 picks out of every 100 passes, I guess, is what that means.
Okay.
In Kirk Cousins' time in Washington, which was, what, 4 full seasons, something like that, mm-hmm. where he started, his interception rate was 2.6. So does anybody – I'm not saying that Cousins was super careful with the ball and protected it. Like, you know, he wasn't particularly interception prone. I don't think people were like, oh, he's like a high interception guy. He was, you know, whatever. It's kind of average. I think that was the perception. Right up until the crucial moment. Right. That's correct. There were some tough interceptions, but overall I felt like he was kind of like a somewhat conservative, protect the ball quarterback. Almost identical interception rate to what Fitzpatrick has shown in over a full season, about a season and a half of play for the Dolphins. So I don't know. I don't. Maybe he's aged out of the picks. His completion percentage has risen. I think he might be a better quarterback now than he was for the duration of his career that kind of built up his reputation.
I agree with that. I also do think that he was on a lot of bad teams. I mean, I'm not saying mm-hmm. that this Washington team is the greatest show on turf, Rams or something, but and maybe it's his fault that they were bad teams. I don't know. But it seemed like, I guess a better way to put it is he was on teams that did not have a whole ton of weapons. And it always felt to me as a casual outsider, like he was making the most of the guys that he had. You know, he like we just said about looking at free agents, he helped guys flourish. I don't know. I'm still excited about it. It's funny because it's almost when they traded for Alex Smith, you and I got on a podcast and we're like dumbfounded by how much we didn't like the deal. And it just kept getting worse as the details got revealed. But even when it was just Alex Smith, high draft pick, you know, character guy coming to town, we were both kind of like, well, this sucks. And I feel like there's some sort of weird mirror universe version of that here where this, you know, 15-year journeyman who's known for like throwing interceptions and getting benched for mediocre rookies comes to town. And I'm like, hell yeah, let's do it. So I don't know.
Did you remember that Ryan Fitzpatrick played for the Bengals?
Yes, although I could not tell you a single thing of like who was he throwing to, like Ocho Cinco?
That was 2008. He went 4-7-1. He was 26 years old. And I'll tell you who he was throwing to. He did have TJ Husmanzada and Ocho Cinco to throw to. Did you know that Ryan Fitzpatrick was a quarterback for the Tennessee Titans?
I don't remember that at all. Actually, let me see. Let me see. So there's 9 teams, right? Is Washington the ninth? All right. So you've given
me. Yes. Washington is the 9th team.
So we've got Washington and Miami, obviously. You've given me Cincinnati and Tennessee. He definitely came in with St. Louis. Mm-hmm. There was a stint with the Jets, if I remember correctly.
He started almost 30 games for the Jets. He went 10-6 for the Jets in 2015.
Who were the wide receivers for that team?
Hold on. This is his best year. In 2015, he went 10-6 with 3,900 yards, 31 touchdowns, and 15 picks. If he gives you 3,900 yards, 31 touchdowns, 15 picks this year, I'm turning cartwheels.
Absolutely. Who were the receivers on that Jets team?
The 2015 Jets, Brandon Marshall went off. He had 1,500 yards. And Eric Decker. Brandon Marshall, okay. Eric Decker. Those are the two.
So, one weird take. So I'm stalled at 6 of his teams, and I'll see if I can think of it. I may be at my limit, but we'll see.
He started like 50 games for Buffalo.
Oh God, I totally forgot about the Buffalo era.
They were terrible. Yeah.
But here's the thing. Oh, and he played Washington with Buffalo in Toronto, right? He was in the Canada game.
Yeah, I believe so. They were a loser every year with him.
But the interesting thing about the teams, and especially the seasons when he was good, but I keep coming back to this flourishing thing. Like, his wide receivers were always guys you would take in fantasy, even if he wasn't a player you were interested in. Mm-hmm. I mean, Husmanzada and Ocho Cinco that year in 2008 were good. Decker and Brandon Marshall were good. He's a guy who can put up numbers, which... Yes, when Kirk Cousins did it, it felt empty and meaningless, and I hated life. But Kirk Cousins is basically like a sentient tub of vanilla pudding. Like, at least Ryan Fitzpatrick, there's something interesting there. I don't know. I'm really intrigued by the move. I'm happy.
The other teams he's played for, Tampa. I think we all remember Tampa because it's so recent. And he was decent. You know, put up pretty good numbers there. The team, however, was only 4-6 in his starts. I have zero recollection of this, even after seeing it. He was the starter in Houston for a year. No idea.
Houston Texans?
The Houston Texans. In 2014, he went 6-6. He had a 95 QB rating. Who knew?
Where does that fall in the Texans? Was that the year that they wound up having to start, like, what's his name?
They went 9-7 and finished in second, so they did not make the playoffs that year. And their other quarter, they also got QB starts from Case Keenum, remember him, and Ryan Mallett.
Whoa, that quarterback room is just a delight. Well, we had Case Keenum briefly. He had a cup of coffee here. I would take Fitzpatrick over Case Keenum. I would take Fitzpatrick over Dwayne Haskins. I would take Fitzpatrick certainly over the broken shell of Alex Smith and probably over the pre-broken shell of Alex Smith.
I don't know. Alex Smith coming in, you know, off of like his Chiefs success, I was probably feeling better about that. But yes, it's not like there's a big gap there.
Because it's an Andy Reid quarterback. I mean, you cannot trust an Andy Reid quarterback outside of an Andy Reid system. And I don't know. Who's the offensive coordinator for Fitzpatrick last year for the Dolphins?
Was it Chan Gailey, I think, was the guy?
Oh, he's a Chan Gailey guy, I think.
I think they've got a connection, yeah.
He's one of those guys where when Chan Gailey shows up, you immediately, you know, figure they're going to sign Fitzpatrick. Interesting. Well, we don't have Chan Gailey, but we do have Norv Turner's son, and Norv Turner preceded Chan Gailey as Cowboys offensive coordinator, maybe? I don't know. I'm trying.
Gailey and Fitzpatrick were together with the Dolphins, Jets, and Bills. Not a lot of success. But anyways, the thing is, like, it's all relative. Like, we've talked before about how in 2020, if Washington just had like replacement level quarterback play for the duration of the season, they're probably like plus two, plus three in the win column.
Yep.
And not by replacement level, I'm talking like Andy Dalton. I have said like Andy Dalton would have been preferable to the kind of quartet of QBs that they played over the course of the full season. Remember, Haskins got like seven starts. So
God, what a disaster.
So I think you have Fitzpatrick, like the level he played last year in Miami. If you put him on the 2020 Washington team, they're running away with the division. Now it's a shitty division. And maybe you're not running away with the division with 9 or 10 wins this year, but you're right in the mix. And look at what's out there. As the QB class or whatever, you know, the QB crop kind of weeded itself out, I never really latched on to anyone after Matt Stafford went to LA. I mean, did you? Was there anybody that you were really excited about or that you had enthusiasm for coming to Washington?
No. And what I was becoming increasingly convinced of is that I didn't want to give up any additional anything. Like, if there was a guy who fell to them at their spot in the first round, you know, Trey Lance or whichever guy wound up falling, and they liked him, I was okay with them using the first round pick on a guy. But I didn't want to give anything up. And I will say, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is a, I don't know, so the poor man's version, and then Bill Simmons used to do the homeless man's version. What's after that? You know, like a destitute person's version of Matt Stafford, but you also didn't have to give up anything for him. So like, mm-hmm. I actually, there's part of me that says, factoring in cost, and long-term effect on the franchise, this could be the best move that they could have made. A move like this, anyway, it could be the best they could have made.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's say their names, because the Chicago Bears fans are waking up this morning to Andy Dalton rumors. I went to bed last night to Mitch Trubisky rumors. I've been chewing on Sam Darnold, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota sandwiches for a few weeks. Like, I feel better about Fitzpatrick for nothing than all of those dudes for something.
Well,
Dalton you get for nothing, but you know what I mean.
I feel very similar about Fitzpatrick as I do to Jameis, which makes me think that I just kind of really want somebody who can push the ball downfield and make a game interesting to watch. It's a little bit back to that basketball conversation we had last time we talked, where I was like, I feel like all of our local basketball teams are just boring to watch, even when they're good. And the football team has been some of the same. And like, I think I just want someone excited. But other than that, yes. Trubisky, absolutely not. Darnold, was really not excited about him. I could have talked myself into him, but I was not excited.
Yeah, especially if it's like a second-round pick or something of value going back.
Exactly. And also, once you lay out a pick of any kind, let alone, you know, multiple, you're committed to the guy. You've got to give it a shot. There's no competition. There's no nothing. Whereas now, if Trey Lance falls to them at 19 and they do like him, they can still take him. I mean, you take him. You cut either Heinicke or Allen or both. And you've got to find QB room. You just got flexibility here.
And the other part that I agree, I kind of liked Jameis in similar ways to Fitzpatrick. But I kind of liked Fitzpatrick more in part because he has a track record of a situation that's sort of like, a pretty long track record of being flexible. You know, he can be in the room and be the QB or the backup. And those roles could flip, their starter or the backup, those roles could flip flop from week to week. You know, and he could thrive in that environment, and he could operate as a bit of a mentor, it seems. You know, so like, whether that's with Heinicke and Allen, or it's with Heinicke and a draft pick like Lance or Jones, and maybe Allen's gone, it gives you all this flexibility. It just seemed like the best. I think they're a better team now and for the future today than they were yesterday, and it'll be fun to watch. So I don't know that I'm excited, but I'm happy about the move.
Exactly. You know, we complain for years about them making stupid, flashy moves that don't work, and we hate those. And then we complain that they don't do anything or don't seem to have a plan or whatever. And this feels like the move of a team that has some idea of what they're doing. Like, I can see the reasons behind it. It makes sense. It's not thrilling unless you are a broken, shattered Washington fan, which, I mean, who isn't? I don't know. I'm happy. And, you know, it's sort of they lost Ronald Darby. They lost, what's his name, Kevin Pierre, Lewis, whatever his name is. And I liked both those also, because the other big problem they've had over the years is a guy does halfway decent here and they want to pay him and give him an 8-year deal because like they finally have a good player. And I like that they're like, you know what? You were a good value find and we will just trust ourselves to find the next value find. I'm kind of okay with it. I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure we'll be eating these words in week 6 when we're like 0-6 and he's thrown 27 interceptions, but hey, whatever.
Well, and maybe we'll come back together after some of this, these other free agency moves sort themselves out and Falcon and the Winter Soldier debuts. So could be another Mr. Irrelevant pod here in the near term, but for now, anything else on Fitzpatrick?
Nothing else on Fitzpatrick. One quick podcast recommendation. Have you listened to, it's a Ringer podcast, of course. It's the one that Nora Princiati and Nathan Hubbard are doing about the Taylor Swift albums. Have you checked this out at all?
No.
Okay. I am mildly indifferent to Taylor Swift with the caveat that my daughter really went through a Taylor Swift phase when she was younger. And so like, I know some of the songs, but I am not a fan. I was not familiar with the early albums. This is as well executed a music pop culture pop podcast as I've heard. It's just really good. Hubbard is really smart. I didn't know him well, but he's really smart at the industry side and at sort of like the nuts and bolts mechanics of Nashville songwriting and stuff. And Princiati is this like super articulate super fan, but she also brings sort of the same level of like research and insight that she brings to her football stuff. I really tremendously enjoyed it much, much more than I would have expected. So, you know, if you find yourself with some time to kill, I recommend it.
You know, I've been trying to get my daughter into Taylor Swift. And it hasn't really worked. Like when the Folklore album came out specifically, I was like, let's listen to this together. And she really didn't care. I was just disappointed.
I mean, Folklore is arguably the least teen tween girl album.
But it's the most dad.
I know, but you have to get her through the teen albums to get to the dad albums. That's the whole point.
Yeah, but she doesn't care about the teen albums of 2013 or whatever. She cares about like, I don't know what the fuck, driver's license, whatever's happening now.
this is fair, but I don't know. It's interesting. I'd be intrigued to hear what you think because there are parts of it that really vibe with the way I've heard you talk about music in the past. I think you might take. I don't know.
All right, we'll see. I will take. By the way, have you read all the Harry Potters?
I have. Yes.
Okay, so my daughter did start in on the Harry Potters. She's on book 2 now. I'm considering. I've never read a page. I've never seen a minute of any of the films. Considering following her on this journey and like reading the books along with her, should I do that or not?
I would say yes, but I mean, you know, this is one of those areas where I'm a huge nerd and you generally are not. I will say that the buy-in for the first few Harry Potter books is low. Like, I don't know how big a reader you are, but you can.
I would say not voracious, but active. Yeah.
Okay. So, you'll plow through the first three like there's nothing to it. The second one's a little bit of a slog, but like it's a classic second album thing where she's like frantically trying to. So I say go for it and see how it goes. I'm happy to talk to you about it, and we should just literally nag Jason Concepcion to come on and guest on the pod to really just hype you up for Harry Potter full control style. That's what I'm saying.
All right, Harry Potter and Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'll talk to you later.
Hell yeah.
See you.